that's 5 seconds. So if people are going to leave, there we go. They can go.
I know.
We were just looking at our stats and it was like average playtime of 19 seconds. So, well, they just listened to boom.
We're
click. We're back. And turns it off.
Got a lot of faithful listeners, clearly.
Really, so many of them. So many of them. Except for we actually do. Lindsay, we're thinking about you and we love you.
Yes, we are thinking about you.
Yeah, always thinking about you, but really thinking about you now. So just wanted to extend that, you know, you've been heavy on our hearts and on our minds and that we're sending you so much fucking love and light. It's not even funny.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay. Shall we jump?
Yep. Off a cliff?
No.
Okay.
Not head first, taking the fast way to the lobby.
We'll put a fireman pole in.
Yeah. My disturbing facts, other than the fact that my dog just put all my dogs in her mouth. Yeah, we got a mirror with us today. Anyway, and there's going to be a picture for on the Instagram story. Seeing how this is live from the studio, which is my office, which is disgusting. I'm so sorry. It's actually not disgusting. There's just a lot of like pillows and instruments out here. And I don't even play any instruments. So it's really fun.
Daphne just randomly collects instruments.
I'm just like, that's a really nice purple cello.
That's for me.
I'll take it with me. No, just kidding. Any hoods, my disturbing fact.
Please.
Okay, so there was a 12-year study that was recently concluded, like in the last 5 years recently concluded.
Recently, like a long time ago?
Yeah, like within the last 5 years it was concluded.
That's recent.
But all the news stories are reported from like last Christmas-ish. Anyway, about this is a study that came out of UC Davis that was reporting that some California ground squirrels have been exhibiting carnivorous behaviors.
Well, that's...
And that they're hunting and eating voles. They pick them up and they shake them to death and then they eat them.
Wow.
And there's been like competition over them, and they've also been seen hunting like mice and other small rodents. Normally, you know, they just would eat nuts or fruits or sometimes insects, sometimes like eggs of birds. But now they're like, they're also eating birds. They're they're targeting animals.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
What makes that happen?
Climate change, lack of food. They're adapting. Evolution.
Yeah. That's where I was going. I was like, oh, that's evolution.
Yeah. And there's been like a lot of competition, which there was like never competition amongst squirrels before. I mean, I guess not never. Like if they saw the same nut at the same time, whoever gets to it's getting to it.
Right. They got D's nuts.
Right. D's big nuts. I fucking love that children's book. It's the best children's book in the world.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, they're finding that squirrels are more adaptable than they thought that they were. I guess everyone thought squirrels were stupid, but they're actually, you know, they're finding value in the changing ecosystem by changing their habits. Mm. They're not like just dying off.
Well, you said this was California, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's happening every California study though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You see.
So it's definitely happening everywhere.
Okay.
They're not just changing in California.
Just the California squirrels.
Just the California squirrels are all of a sudden becoming carnivorous.
Well, I was just thinking because lack of vegetation because it's so fucking dry and all the fires and everything.
It might not have worked its way to here yet, but it could have.
Our squirrels haven't evolved yet.
But I would guess that they probably have. And we're talking ground squirrels, which I don't really know the difference between all the different types of squirrels. My favorite ones, though.
Those are squirrels that are on the ground.
My favorite ones, though, are the ones.
No laughter from you?
Yeah, you're so funny. Like, I didn't already think of that. My favorite, oh, this is a nasty picture.
Flying squirrels? Oh, that thing looks rough.
It's a squirrel with a bull and it has like the tops of its ears look like they've been chewed off, the squirrel's ears.
Yeah.
But it has a bull in its hand that it's already eaten the head of.
Yeah, it looks rough. That squirrel looks rough.
That squirrel looks really rough.
Maybe it was in a nuclear explosion.
Well, you know, they're probably being attacked by said animals also to try and get them to try and feed themselves.
Yeah, no shit.
Anyway, I was going to say, I don't really know the difference between all the different squirrels, but my favorite squirrels are the little ones. Yeah, it's crazy. They're targeting just rodents now. They're just eating a bunch of rodents. My favorite squirrels, though. Sorry. Back to my favorite squirrels. The little black ones that are in the mountains that have little tufts of hair on their ears.
Black squirrels?
Those are my favorite. Yeah.
They're so cute.
I hope they're not carnivorous, but they probably are.
They're eating chipmunks.
I'm sure that they are. Oh, poor little chippies. Chippies are so cute. I want a chipmunk.
The chippies are so cute.
But my next animal besides another dog is going to be a bunny.
Bunnies are so scary because, like, if they kick their back legs wrong, they break their backs.
I'm going to get an Angora. They're pretty chill.
Still. I always... fucking scared me. And you always had bunnies when you were little.
That you let die. Yeah.
No, your dad fucking...
Blame it on dad. How do you guys make the same mistake twice?
Three times, I think.
Yeah, three times. How do you make the same mistake three times over? Well,
the bunnies are supposed to go in their little hutch at night, and then they didn't, and then they ran away.
You'd eaten by a fox.
They just ran away. They went to go live somewhere else.
Yeah, because you let them get killed. You let my Bun Bun get killed. Bun Bun was like the size of me.
Yeah.
I loved Bun Bun. I remember Bun Bun.
How do you remember Bun Bun? That was before we even lived in this house. Touching
Bun Bun. I remember Bun Bun was soft. I have that memory.
Okay.
I do.
I believe you. You were just fucking little.
Yeah, but I remember... it being soft. I also remember my cat, Luna.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Aw, okay. You're going to make me all memory lane sad animal thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to have an Angora bunny next.
Okay.
But we used to have a pet squirrel.
We did. Well, I raised it. I saved it and I raised it.
Yeah, she was a pet squirrel.
Yeah, I did it a few times, actually.
Oh, I just remember TJ.
Yeah.
Who was renamed Turtle.
Yeah.
She was cute.
Yep.
Did okay.
A few times.
On to your case. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Enough distractions.
Talk about squirrels, and here we are.
Shiny squirrel panties.
Exactly. Every day, all day.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the second part of the 11 portion. Sorry, because like it's a portion of the Texas killing fields.
Yeah, the second part of what they believe is connected.
Yes.
Of the 11 from the Texas killing fields.
Yeah, and I was
sure brain. Yes, spasm,
so
things.
When I was researching this, it was so fucking depressing. And then I was editing it. So fucking depressing.
And it stayed so fucking depressing.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It is really sad. But it's really sad that, I mean, there's just a lot of sad. Oh, all true crime is sad, though.
Yeah. Well, I just kept thinking because, you know, I was researching it and then I was listening to it because I was editing it. And all I can think of is those poor parents. That's all I can think of. And obviously the girls, but like just the poor parents not knowing for so long and not having anybody on your side to help you. And
right. And also the fact that the police are like, they just ran away.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You don't have anybody on your side helping you.
Yeah, but it's like, you know your kid. So, you know if they were exhibiting signs of, yeah, they might have run away. They might have not. But why is all the money in her bank account still in her bank account?
Right, exactly. Or she didn't take her even a fucking sweater and it's going to be chilly. Anyway, all right. So we'll get to the second half here, the second part. And then you can give me your thoughts at the end.
Okay.
Like you always do. However.
Like you always do. The huge. However, are you saying shut your mouth through the
No, of however, course not.
Be fucking quiet while I discuss everything else.
No. I just want you to consider all of the information that I'm going to give you and then give me your thoughts at the end because like how they said.
I already don't think they're connected.
Right. But my this own will give bias you more information.
My own bias has been formed. I do not think that they're connected purely based on the fact that all the MOs were kind of, yes, they were all young ladies, but the MOs were all very different. And there was what, how many different races? Primarily white.
Primarily white, but then one girl was black and then another girl was Hispanic.
Yes. So that's three different races happening right there.
Mm-hmm. Three different ways of killing, strangulation, bludgeoning, and shooting.
Yeah. Raping, yeah. Maybe not raping, clothes being removed, clothes not being removed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just, it's too all over the place to be one person.
Yeah, unless he's a kook, which is also a possibility.
Unless he's a kook?
Yeah, not.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like Outer Banks because I started rewatching that the other day. I was like, yeah, or he's a pogue.
No. Not kooks and pogues, just cuckoo kachoo, like a fucking nut job.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Like my dog?
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay, wild.
Shall we?
Yes, proceed.
All right, sorry, excuse me. Here we go. I woke up this morning with like the fucking sorest throat. I'm like, great. Here cool. We go again.
Cool.
Well, no, I don't have it now. I think it was just
well,
dry.
Well, no, I don't have it now. So it's fine. I can't be contagious because I don't feel it.
I
at
think
the
I just had a dry.
I love the way you're sick and you give me it all the time. See, here's the thing. My mom doesn't sleep, so she's sick 24/7 anymore. Every single Friday for the last at least 5 months, you've been sick. Every single Friday. I could go through my texts with you. I don't feel well. I'm going to lay down. I don't feel good. I have a headache from how I've been throwing up all night. There's just so many things. And see, here's the thing with me. My mental has been so fucking down that I've been getting sick too. So it's like, I'm so sad. And then I've been trying to be really good physically, but those, mind, body, and spirit all work together. So body may be doing fine. Mind and spirit are like, fuck. And then it makes body ill.
Right. That happens.
So that's what's been going on in my world. So yeah, you're just sick every single Friday.
Today is Monday. Monday. I can be sick any given day of the week. And last week I was sick on Wednesday.
I'm gonna put on your tombstone when you go. From the Key West Cemetery. I told you I was sick.
Yeah.
Stop chewing your nails.
I'm picking off my nail polish, which I shouldn't do either. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, all right. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Okay.
So my new catchphrase apparently is,
but I told you I was sick.
But so anyway, and then you go, yeah. And I go, right.
Or all right. That's what you just said. I was thinking your catchphrase is, it's Friday. I don't feel well.
Which
isn't like that the day you should be feeling like the best.
Maybe
like,
it's psychosomatic.
It's Friday. Well,
that's what I was
down on Friday.
That's what I was thinking, because every day is the same for me, that like it doesn't really matter what day of the week it is because I'm always just here taking care of everything and everyone. But on the weekends, I have a little more help. So maybe it's psychosomatic that I get sick on Fridays. So I'm not able to completely and totally participate on Saturday and Sunday like I do Monday through Friday.
Maybe.
Right? I don't feel well. And other people are here.
You keep interrupting our oyster plans.
You last week.
Because you were sick and then you gave it to me.
But that was legitimate sick. I might be legitimately sick other times or not.
Yeah, I don't think you are. I think you're just trying to escape life. And right. You're like,
I'm like Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout from the Shel Silverstein, the poet. And he has a poem. He's the one that wrote The Giving Tree, which isn't a poem, it's a book. But he has a book of poems, or poems, as you would say.
Poems.
Poetry, as you would say. And he has this
poetry.
One. Oh my God, we have to get through this. This is why people only listen to us for 19 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
They're like, God, these bitches never shut up. Okay, so anyway, he has a poem called Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout. And then the poem goes, Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout would not take the garbage out. And it goes on and on and on about how the garbage just fucking piles up and piles up and piles up because she's sick. She says, what? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday? Goodbye. I'm going out to play. That's how it ends. But the whole fucking thing, she's like, oh, this, that, and the other, and the garbage is piling up.
So it's me.
Yes, it's Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout Daphne Rose King.
Yes, it's like, Daphne has to do 101 things, but Gail could do them also. I have to go to the bathroom. I have to go take a nap. I need a shower.
I'm doing anything else.
Yeah. Oh, it's Saturday. I must go play.
Exactly. I'll show you when we go in the house.
Were going to say the green scarf girl, the one who's like, you know what I'm talking about? That poem, or it's not a poem. It's a kid's book. You don't know what I'm talking about? The girl with the green scarf. She like meets a boy and they fall in love. And he's always like, can I take off your scarf?
That's not a kid's book. That's a fucking horror story.
And then at the end, really? Because it was in my kindergarten classroom.
That he undoes her scarf and her head falls off?
Yeah.
That was in your kindergarten classroom?
Uh-huh.
No wonder why you're partially fucked up.
Partially?
I mean, no wonder that kindergarten also partially fucked you up. It wasn't just me and Dad.
Yes. Okay. Correct.
Good to know, Ashley. Yep. All right.
That's me.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes, I've been ready.
Sorry. What are we, fucking 14 minutes in now?
17.
Fuck! Okay, we'll be cutting some of that shit. Disclaimer, Gail and Daphne can't shut the fuck up.
Disclaimer.
All right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Okay.
Okay, the 11.
Here we go.
I almost said the 17.
In 1998, a man named Edward Howard Bell began writing letters to prosecutors and police in Galveston and Harris County. Bell was in prison serving a 70-year sentence for murder, and in the letters, he claimed to have killed seven teenage girls from 1971 to 1977.
Nope.
He named, but see how it's seven?
Not 11.
Correct.
Yeah, but still, seven of them did not have the same MO.
Well, okay. That, yes. Okay, so he claimed to kill seven teenage girls from 1971 to 1977. And he named...
I don't buy it, though. Here's my thing. Here's my reasoning. Just up front why I don't buy it when you immediately present that information. Because serial killers and all those people always want to be known for more than what they've done. Mm-hmm. They, like, want the fame that's tied to whatever because they're fucked up in their stupid little brains. Mm-hmm. And so they like the notoriety from the shit that they didn't do. And so that's why I'm just like, no, it's not him.
It's not. Not for all of them, no.
Well, yeah, not for all of them, but not for any of them.
So in...
not for all of them, not for any of them.
Some of them.
What did you say he was in prison for?
For murder. He sent these letters, right, in 1998. And he claimed to have killed these girls between 1971 and 1977. And he named four of the girls. So he named Colette Wilson, Debbie Ackerman, Maria Johnson, and Kimberly Pitchford. But the last one that went missing was Susie Bowers. And that was in 1977.
There's poop on my shirt.
Wow. Not surprising, but wow.
Damn it.
Puppies. Puppies.
Sorry. Okay. Can you repeat everything you just said? Because I just got really just... I looked down and I saw the poop.
From
I got
distracted. Where?
All the girls that he's just...
Okay, so he named four of the girls, Colette Wilson, Debbie Ackerman, and Maria Johnson. And they were together, remember?
Yes.
Debbie and Maria. And then...
Three sets of them were together.
Kimberly Pitchford was the other one that he said that he murdered. And then he said he was brainwashed. So he says he killed seven. He named only four in the letter, right? And he said he was brainwashed into killing Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson and described how he murdered them on the bridge. So if you remember, their bodies were discovered in Turner's Bayou on opposite sides of the bridge.
Okay.
So, and he described that, but also...
Was that public knowledge?
It was public knowledge. However, I'm going to get to why I think that he is responsible for these two.
Just those two, though, not the two friends.
I don't know. No, actually, I think, yes, those ones also.
So the four of them that he admitted to, the four of them that he named, do you think he did?
No, because Colette Wilson and Kimberly Pitchford weren't the two friends. The two friends were Rhonda and Sharon.
Two of the friends, didn't you?
Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson. Those were two friends.
Yes. There were like three sets of two friends, right? Throughout the whole, six of them total were in groups of two when they were abducted and murdered.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking you.
Okay, well, let's just go through it. And then at the end, we'll give our we'll fucking say what we think. But I think you might want to take notes.
I'm thinking I might want to take notes. I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, I'm legitimately going to pull out a pen and a piece of paper.
Okay, so he said he was brainwashed into killing Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson. And he described how he murdered them on the bridge. And their bodies were discovered in...
Maria and Debbie murdered them on the bridge.
Yeah, what'd I say?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm like, I literally need like a spreadsheet. I need like a board with like...
This is going to take way too long if you have to ask me a question after every word I say.
Murdered on bridge. No, I'm for real.
Okay.
I'm trying to solve this crime. And I don't think that... I really, like, in my heart of hearts, the way you've presented the information in the first one, yes, obviously some of them were killed by the same people. Like Maria and Debbie were probably not killed by two separate serial killers unless there were two separate serial killers together that abducted them and then one murdered one and one murdered the other,
right?
Because they were together. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, it just does not sound like they were killed by the same, like, that you tie all a string to all 11 of them. No, the string is going in multiple different places.
Correct.
Because there's different means of killing. There's different victimologies. There's different age groups. There's different places of abduction. There's different, oh, this person got picked up by someone in this car because there was the sighting of that one girl who was like, luckily I jumped out of that freak's car.
Right. Okay. Can I?
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. For the remaining...
That was public information.
The remaining three victims, he just used their initials, hair color, and the year they were murdered.
Okay.
So in 1998, when Bell made these claims, they were never thoroughly investigated. Several investigators thought his claims should be further investigated. investigated, and they believed that Bell was guilty of multiple murders, and they had evidence to corroborate his claims. But Galveston prosecutors refused to present Bell's letters to a grand jury, and then the letters were quote unquote lost.
Okay.
One former Galveston DA named Kurt Sistrunk told the Houston Chronicle, quote, "I didn't believe we had sufficient evidence that we could proceed to grand jury with, and without getting into specifics, that's a decision that had to be made, no matter the temptations to proceed otherwise. It wasn't for lack of effort."
Okay, but at the same time, they also had to pin on that other guy, right?
Two of them. Two. But not the ones he's confessing to.
Okay. Not any of those two were not encapsulated in the seven, though.
Mm-mm.
Okay, they sat outside of that seven.
Yeah, okay. I believe so. I didn't make the notes about the hair color and the other, like, if it was tying those two together or if it was the dates. And actually, I think it was. I think two of the ones that he said would have put him with Sharon Shaw and Rhonda Johnson, because
the senators,
the councilman's granddaughter, because he just puts the dates, their hair color, and then he'll put like one next to one and two next to another one. So
already had that guy in prison at this point.
Yes.
For it.
Yes. And that guy died 2 years later.
Yeah. That guy died in 2000.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Bell was in prison for the murder of 26-year-old Larry Dickens, an ex-Marine, youth counselor, and an oil field roughneck, should you want to know, because I did.
I should want to know, yes.
Yes, is a worker who performs physically demanding tasks on an oil rig. They are primarily focused on the drilling operations.
Okay.
Okay. So on the afternoon of August 28th, 1978, Dorothy Lang was looking out her kitchen window and she saw a man park his truck across the street from her house. And she saw he was doing something in his lap and she assumed that he was like looking for something.
But he was jacking off like a creep.
Then he stepped out of his truck and he was naked from the waist down and was masturbating.
Mm-hmm. Jacking off like a creep, like,
yeah,
I just said.
While he was approaching a group of young girls.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. She picked up the phone and called police. Larry Dickens, Dorothy's son, again, he's home. He's there. I don't think he lives there, but overheard his mom calling the police and ran outside to stop Bell from leaving until the police could get there. Larry ran to Bell's truck and he took the keys out of the ignition. Okay, so Dorothy saw then Bell go back to his truck because she's watching all this out the window, kitchen window. She's on the phone with the police. And she saw Bell go back to his truck, put his jeans on, and then reach in his truck and grab a gun. And he told Larry that if he didn't give him his keys back, he would kill him. Larry didn't think the threat was real, and so he walked towards Bell. Then Larry take two or three steps toward Bell, and Bell shot Larry five times.
Fuck.
Larry staggered into his garage. Dorothy, who was still on the phone with police, threw down the phone and ran into the garage so she could let Larry into the house. And when she got to the garage, Larry was leaning on the washing machine with Bell standing next to him, holding a gun to Larry's head.
Fuck.
Dorothy told Bell to leave because the police were on their way. And Bell replied, "I can't leave. He still has my keys." And Dorothy told Larry to give Bell his keys. After Larry handed over the keys, Bell shot Larry again. And then he went back to his truck and Larry tried to follow him because he's still trying to stop him, even though at this point he's been shot several times.
Mm-hmm.
But
strong-willed.
Yeah. But Dorothy grabbed Larry from behind and she helped him to lay down in the driveway. Then she ran inside, got back on the phone, and they could like hear chaos and stuff. So they said police were on the way. But then she said, "Well, my son's been shot and he's hurt." And so they're like, "Okay, we're going to send an ambulance and we're sending people."
Yeah.
So Larry's 17-year-old sister was coming back home when she saw Bell walking out of the garage and go to his truck, grab a rifle, and walk back up their driveway and shoot something on the ground. As she got closer, she realized it was Larry laying in the driveway. Then she watched Bell run back to his truck and he drove off. It should be noted that Larry didn't try to assault Bell or have a weapon on him. All he was did was take his keys because he's trying to stop him from being able to leave because he's a fucking pervert.
Gross.
Pasadena police. So this is in Pasadena, Texas. I don't know if I said that. Pasadena police were responding to a person exposing himself that changed to a shooting victim down. So more police units were dispatched with the description of the suspect and his truck. When approaching the scene, police saw the suspect driving away from the scene and they began to chase his truck. Bell sped up trying to evade the police. And when he turned onto a street that ended up being a dead end, he like drove across somebody's front yard and then he crashed into a fence and he jumped out of his truck and he grabbed the rifle and he pointed it at the officers, but fortunately the rifle jammed, so he wasn't able to shoot any of the officers, which is good.
This guy's fucking insane.
Then he tried to run, but Bell was taken into custody. In Bell's truck, officers found a loaded rifle and a .22 automatic pistol, as well as a bunch of like pornography.
Creep.
Yeah. So not that pornography is bad, but it's the combo and the masturbating in front of children.
Yeah. Well,
that's a bad, bad gig.
I feel like also just walking around with porn, like there's a time and a place for it. Right. Maybe your car isn't time or place unless you're like long distance, have to be in your car 24/7. Unless you're living in there.
Just saying. Okay. Yeah. So officers noted that Bell was very calm for the situation at hand. And they also noted that Bell didn't have.
Really? He doesn't fucking seem very calm.
Right.
Shoots a guy 8 times.
Yeah. 8 or 9. So Bell, they also noted that Bell didn't have a single mark on him.
Okay.
Bell was taken back to Larry's house where his sister and his mother identified him as the shooter.
Larry. How traumatic.
So traumatic. Larry died from his injuries. Autopsy results showed Larry had been shot twice in the head, in both elbows. Sorry, that just sounds so painful.
My elbow just started twitching.
Right.
Well, if you get shot in the head, hopefully you wouldn't feel it and you would just die.
Well, I think those were like the last, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. If you got shot in the head, hopefully you wouldn't feel it and you would just die. Getting shot in the elbows.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't kill you.
No. And I think those were some of the first shots. So he was shot in both elbows, in his right thigh and in the back. The two shots to the head and the one shot to his back were all fatal shots. So they don't know which one killed him, but any of the three could have killed him.
Right.
One of the head shots that Larry sustained was to his right cheek and had been fired at close range, maybe 9 to 12 inches away.
Jesus.
And Bell claimed, told the cops.
That's so fucking brutal.
So brutal. Bell claimed that he dropped the gun and it accidentally went off and he didn't mean to shoot Larry. It was an accident.
I didn't mean to shoot him 8 times.
Right. And I didn't mean to run back. I fucking run back to my truck and get another fucking weapon.
Ugh.
Oops. My bad.
Dirty piece of shit.
Yeah. He's a fucking piece of something.
A dirty piece of shit.
Dirty piece of shit. Bell was released on bond 2 months after his arrest. So why? Mm-hmm. Why you get fucking released on bond when you're a sexual predator and you murder somebody who's trying to stop you from being a sexual predator?
Yeah.
But sure, it's cool. Well,
you know.
We'll see you in court. So yeah, they're like, okay, cool. We're going to release you on bond and we'll see you for your court
date. Let's just say the priorities are wrong.
Priorities are all fucked up. He liquidated all of his assets and with approximately $140,000 in cash, he disappeared. He was set to stand trial on January 8th, 1979, and he didn't show.
Shocker.
Right? Like, oh my gosh, we shouldn't have let him out on bail.
Flight risk, I wonder.
Yeah. September 6th, 1984, in Bryan, Texas, a couple we're going to call Bill and Sue because they asked to remain anonymous. So in everything I've read, they're like Bill and Sue and Tom and Sally and blah, okay, blah, blah.
So just call them Bill and Sue.
Bill and Sue. So Bill.
Hopefully not their real names.
Bill left for work and their 3-year-old daughter was in the living room watching TV. She's watching Sesame Street. Do you remember Sesame Street? Do you ever watch Sesame Street?
A little bit.
When I was reading.
It's canceled.
Oh, sad. Oh, well, yeah. Because of all that stuff happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Political status.
Yeah. Sue was in the bathroom getting ready. And in the mirror, she saw a man walking into her bathroom. So she turned towards the guy. And he had a large hunting knife in his hand. And he slashed her with it. And she's like freaking out because of their daughter. She's like, fuck, I have to save my daughter. So she wicked goes into mama bear mode, right? And she attacked the man and she forced him out of the bathroom. And the bathroom was off of the master bedroom. And she was able to grab a gun from her nightstand because Texas. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I don't have a gun in my nightstand, nor do I have a baseball bat by my front door. Things to consider.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
So she grabbed a gun from her nightstand and she drove him out of the house at gunpoint. She fired at the intruder as he ran down the stairs to the main floor.
I have to laugh because I just think about the fact that I used to have a Swiss Army knife underneath my bathroom sink. And it's like, what the fuck is that?
I'm going to screwdriver you, then I'll spoon you up.
Right?
And I'll cut you with these little tiny scissors. Hold still.
Hold still. I cut your eyelashes. I'm like, what am I going to do with that?
Right? Sew something. Screw something.
Sew something.
Well, it has those little sewing scissors and the little tiny, I don't know. Anyway. Okay,
that's so funny.
I guess it depends on how equipped your Swiss Army knife was.
There was a real knife on it.
Good to know. Okay, so she fired at the intruder as he ran down the stairs to the main floor, and she continued firing at him as he ran down the driveway, and he got into his truck and he drove away. One of the shots fired hit his truck, but none hit him, so that's disappointing.
That is disappointing.
According to Sue, it all happened so quickly. She didn't think that he expected her to fight back. He expected her to plead with him. But she flipped the script.
Good for her.
You go, girl. Yeah, exactly. And she called the police, who came out and took a report. Then she went down to the police station to look through mugshot books, but she never saw the guy that came in and tried to attack her.
How did she know it was Belle then?
January of 1985. I didn't tell you it was Belle. You don't know if it's Belle.
Well, I'm just going to have to assume since you're like, well, he fucking fled and he's on bond. And then these people are like, they want to remain anonymous. They just keep getting referred to as Bill and Sue, so hopefully that's not their real names.
So in January of 1985, Sue opened up the morning paper and was shocked to see a picture of the intruder on the roster of the state's most wanted criminals that had been released by the Texas governor's office. And at the very top of the list was the intruder that she had fended off in September, and it was none other than Edward Bell, and he was wanted for murder. So she's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, that would make me go, oh fuck, too.
Right. I have to stop saying right. Yeah.
Right.
Belle had a long criminal history dating back to 1966.
Yeah, this guy's a sick fuck.
Charges included aggravated rapes and tons of counts of indecent exposure to children throughout Texas and Louisiana.
But let's focus on people that had a gram of marijuana in their pocket.
Exactly. Like priorities, man.
Yeah.
Bell was a graduate of Texas A&M, and he had a degree in physical education. And after he graduated, he worked as a licensed diver. And then he got married, and he had a couple. The couple had three children, and they lived on a ranch in western Texas. Bell then started working as
this guy had children?
Uh-huh.
Ew.
Yep. Bell then started working as a traveling pharmaceutical salesman, and he sold the ranch that the family lived in for an office in downtown Houston, where he was very successful with his business, with his pharmaceutical sales.
Great.
In 1966...
Where did it all go wrong?
Yeah. In 1966, Bell was arrested for exposing himself to a pair of little girls, for which he did some time in a psychiatric hospital.
Gross.
And after receiving some treatment, he was released. He was arrested again in 1969 after exposing himself to the 13-year-old daughter of a Lubbock police officer. So at least he picked...
Sorry, you can't see me. I'm shaking my head.
Yeah, shake, shake. Hear the marbles. So instead of jail time, he again was placed under psychiatric care for further treatment. While in treatment, he was known to make inappropriate sexual advances towards underage patients. And, you know, he's a fucking creeper. So by the time he was released, his wife had divorced him because she's smart.
That's
and
good.
By court order, he was to have no contact with his children, which safe,
good.
Safe for them. Yeah. And then Bell married a 17-year-old girl who was also a patient at the psychiatric hospital.
Nice.
The two moved to a beach house in Galveston.
That's like this meme I saw the other day where it's like...
And he was 31 at the time.
Gross. This meme I saw the other day, it's like all loved up at first. And it's like, I knew the second I met him, I was going to wear a white dress. And then it's like the white dress. And this girl's like in the corner of a padded room screaming.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Same.
That's exactly how I feel right now.
Right.
The white dress.
Ah. So they moved to a beach house in Galveston. And in Galveston, I want to live. It sounds so great, except for all the killing. But I just love the beach. Anyway, in Galveston, he became friends.
Yeah, me too. We're not really in the right place for that now, are we?
No. He became friends with Doug Pruns. Yes, it has to be Pruns because there's no E on the end of it. The owner of Doug's Dive and Surf Shop. Does that ring a bell?
Doug's Dive and Surf Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, were those two girls, these two, Maria and Debbie, was that where they were abducted from when they were going to go get a present for one of their boyfriends?
Mm-hmm. So yes, that is where they were. That's the area where they were last seen. Doug had let Bell invest in his business and become a silent partner, even though he had reservations about his friend's behavior. He's like, I think you're a pervert, but I probably need some money for my business. So, okay.
Right. I'll let you invest.
Yeah. But obviously he's hanging out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Not really a silent partner.
Exactly.
Loud and abducting people.
During the mid to late 70s, Bell was arrested on several occasions for exposing himself and masturbating in front of young girls in Lubbock, Pasadena, Plainview, Baycliff, Houston. Sorry. So all these are in Texas and in Gretna, Louisiana.
Okay.
Bell must have not been formally charged or the cases were dropped because he never served any time for any of these. Nothing ever happened.
Jeez.
In 1974, Bell was arrested twice in Galveston County for exposing himself to two girls. Then he pursued them by car when they tried to run away from him.
I will chase you down and show you my dick, you little girls.
Yeah.
What a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he's a piece of crap.
This guy sucks.
He was then arrested.
Not in a good vacuum kind of way.
Right. He was then arrested for the rape of Jenny Seeley, a mental patient who he met outside of the hospital.
Weirdo.
Weirdo.
This guy's just weird. So, I know you're like looking at me waiting for my reactions, but I'm like, I feel like this guy's just a lot and I can understand. Yes, he definitely did murder Colette, Maria, and Debbie and Kimberly. Yes, this is our guy.
This is our guy. These were among some of the cases that were dropped. So there's more, but you know, I'm not going to get
the other thing too is someone like this is also probably really, I feel like he probably definitely murdered Maria and Debbie, but maybe Kimberly and Colette he didn't, but he's also clearly a crazy person. So, to put it kindly, so he probably will take credit for things he doesn't do.
Right. Also, he could be all over the fucking place because he is crazy. So, because how we said different. But still, who knows? On June 26, 1974, he exposed himself to two young girls riding their bikes. The girls were aged 11 and 12.
Okay.
So fucking nasty, this dude. Five weeks later, he got out of his pickup truck in front of five Pasadena girls practicing cheerleading, wearing only a pair of black boots, and he started to masturbate.
Gross.
The next known incident is the day he approached the group of girls on August 24th, 1978, and that was the day that he killed Larry Dickens. So that's the last, like, for sure, he's a piece of shit. So after, remember, they let him out on bail, right?
Yeah.
So Bell was on the run for 15 years.
Jeez.
On December 2nd, 1992, Bell was featured on an episode of America's Most Wanted.
And his wife was like, oh my God, that's my husband.
Oh my God.
I met him at the mental institution.
Side note.
We were in the same padded room.
Screaming, wearing our white dresses.
Uh-huh.
Side note, Matthew McConaughey portrayed Larry Dickens in the reenactment, and it was his first acting role ever.
Oh, I love Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. So just
but apparently, according to his co-stars, he stinks. That he doesn't wear deodorant.
Gotcha.
They're like, yeah, he doesn't smell great. And he's like, I think my body odor smells awesome.
Doesn't everybody who doesn't wear deodorant think they smell amazing?
Yeah.
And they don't.
Correct.
Yes.
Anyway, what I was going to say to you also in regards to this is like hilarious. About a mental institution. They're like, oh, we're wearing those jackets that we hug ourselves in.
I think I'm going to have to cut all this mental institution jokiness.
Been there, done that, can joke about it.
Oh, okay, yeah. From experience.
From experience, I've had to wear one of those self-hugging jackets.
Self-love.
Yep.
On the night the episode aired, a viewer was shocked when he realized the man he had recently done business with a few days earlier.
Doug.
In Panama City was Belle. No, it wasn't Doug. A second viewer sent in several pictures of Belle, along with a letter to authorities saying Belle had been living in Panama for at least 10 years.
Panama, like
Panama.
Panama Canal.
Yes.
Okay.
Like Panama. Like actual Panama.
Not like PCB.
Right. Not like Panama, Texas or something.
No. Well, no, PCB is Panama City Beach,
right,
in Florida.
I understand, but everything he's doing is in Texas. So right, that's why I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if there is one, but yeah, he was in Panama. Legit Panama.
Like where the canal runs through.
Yes. He was living under the assumed name of his dead cousin.
Nice.
Cecil Boyd. Sorry. What a douche though, right?
He's like, my cousin's dead. Let me steal his identity.
Right.
He doesn't need it anymore.
He doesn't need it. It was also discovered that Belle had lived in Mexico and other parts of Central America, including Costa Rica. Belle moved to Boquete, Panama, and settled in Panama City, where he married for the third time another young girl.
Creeper.
So nasty. Throughout his time on the run, he made his living through giving guided dive trips to American tourists and gold panning on his property, because he had a piece of property apparently had gold on it, or he thought so.
Nice.
Why are you laughing, smiling at me?
I'm laughing, smiling because I want to go be a dive guide.
Well, I want to do that.
Look, I want that job.
In a joint effort by the FBI and the Panamanian National Police on February 14th, 1993, Belle was arrested at a yacht club in Panama. Although Belle was suspected of 4 rape murders in Panama, so 2 in Boquete and 2 in Panama City, he was extradited to the United States to stand trial for Larry's murder. Even
good,
though the Panamanian authorities are like, well, we think he killed some people here too, but we'll let you guys have him first.
So, well, I feel like, actually, I guess I don't know anything about prisons in Panama. I was going to say, I feel like prison in Texas is probably brutal.
Maybe, hopefully.
So,
hopefully.
So, well, I feel like we don't hear about very many people making it out alive.
No. Yeah. Big death penalty state for sure.
Yeah.
At his trial, Belle testified for himself.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I just had to tell you something that's so random, which I don't know if you knew this. So random. I'm so sorry. That guy, Lori Daybell, Chad,
mm-hmm,
how he's in prison in Idaho, and he's on the death penalty. Like he's on death row. Yes, he got the death penalty, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the same cell block as Brian Koberger, the one that killed the 4 people, the 4 college students in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, just because they're both high profile cases, but I'm sure there's a lot of other people there too.
Yeah, but they're very high profile cases. So right. That's why it's
but crazy. It's like our Supermax here in Florence, like all the high profile cases that come here. Like
yeah.
So many of them. But yeah.
I'm just sorry.
Just crazy. You just had it in
I
your
just
brain.
I just had it in my brain and I need to tell you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So Belle testified on his own behalf.
Although I don't think he got the death penalty. I think he just got life in prison.
Brian Koberger? Uh-huh. Has the full trial happened?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it just happened.
I knew. I just didn't
fucking
know.
It was incredible. One of the girls, I think Kaylee's sister, took the stand and so did her dad. And they were like looking at him right in the face and they're like, nobody cares about you. You suck.
Good.
Yeah, fucking amazing.
Good. So he testified on his own behalf, which, you know, usually they recommend people don't do that. But he gave his version of events. And this is from the website Justia. So it's like court records.
Yeah.
Belle gave his rendition of what happened on August 24th, 1978. As he was walking toward the corner and masturbating, he saw Larry running toward him. Belle attempted to run to his truck, but arrived there at the same time as Larry. Larry then struck Belle in the left ear and he fell to the ground. Larry took the keys out of the vehicle's ignition. Belle heard Larry say, goddamn pervert, and you have to be punished for this. When Larry, who was still screaming at Belle, stepped back to the truck, Belle put on his pants. Belle said he was fearful and had no path of retreat. So he pulled a pistol out of his truck and he pointed it at Larry's head and he said, don't hit me again. When Belle asked for his keys, Larry doubled his fist and struck him while Belle kept snapping out shots.
Even though he had no injuries on
him. Correct. Until He's snapping out shots until Bell hit the ground. And then Bell got up off the ground, pulled the rifle out of his truck, and then again demanded his keys. Bell stated that he did not point the rifle at Larry, but followed him into his garage where Larry sat down. And as Bell bent down to retrieve his keys, he tripped and the rifle discharged. And Bell, who noted that he had not meant to kill the decedent, then fled as Lang screamed at him. So that's his mom, Larry's mom. Bell testified that when Larry hit him, he burst his eardrum and that he was in great pain and that he was scared. And police officers at the trial testified that at the time of his arrest, Bell had no physical injuries of any kind.
Yeah, checks.
So fast forward to 2011. The letters were discovered by homicide detective Fred Page and Lise Olson, an investigative journalist for the Houston Chronicle. They teamed up. So the homicide detective gets the file, right? He's just curious or whatever. He's like, I just want to look at this. It's cold case. Like, I don't work anymore. And so he teams up with this investigative journalist for the Houston Chronicle, and they release the letters to the public to see if anyone could verify the information that Bell had given. Because they're like, did he do this? Did he not do this? Like, can anybody corroborate this information? Can anybody
verify this?
Yeah. Right. So once the letters were released, people did start to come forward with information. And as Page looked at the letters more and more, he compared the letters to the newspaper articles from the time. And he realized that they did contain some information about the murders that had never been released to the public. Information that only the killer and the investigators would have known. Two witnesses said that they saw Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson accept a ride from a man in a white van. And it was clear, like, when they were talking to the guy, that it seemed like they knew him. Like, nobody could see who the guy, like, nobody could be like, oh, it was this guy, but it was a white van. They knew that. And they said the way they were talking to him, it was like clear that they knew him.
Okay.
Right. Police reports showed that in February of 1972, Bell was arrested for flashing a 15-year-old girl, and he had been driving a 1971 white Ford van. Bell was a silent partner at Doug's dive and surf shop, where both girls were known to shop frequently.
All the pieces that you've already connected, the police is now.
Yeah, these ones are.
These police officers, this retired investigator is now connecting them.
Yes.
Okay.
He also had a trailer near the bayou where the bodies were found. And remember, they were avid surfers and water skiers. So it's likely that the girls would have recognized Bell if he had offered them a ride. And he had a trailer in that Turner's Bayou.
Ugh.
He identified Kim Pitchford as another one of his victims, as a young girl with reddish blonde hair. And she was the one that was reported by her parents after her driver's ed class, and she didn't come home and she didn't call for a ride or anything. And then Sharon Shaw and Rhonda Johnson went missing in Galveston 3 months after Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson. And all four of the girls were known to hang out at the water skiing school near Bell's apartment.
Okay.
So all these four girls all have a connection.
The four girls, the two that you just named.
Sharon Shaw and Rhonda Johnson.
Uh-huh. And Maria and Debbie, the mm-hmm. two sets of friends.
Yeah, they have. And it never said whether or not they were all friends, but they have connection. No, but
group of friends goes to the pool club all the time by his apartment.
The water skiing school.
Yes, sorry. The water scene school. Doug's the other two go surfing, and they go to the dive shop, and they go do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So everybody's
interconnected with him somehow or another.
Interconnected with him. In 1972, Georgia Greer and Brooks Bracewell were last seen at the store in Dickinson. And when searching for information trying to connect Bell to those murders, records showed that Bell owned a pasture just a few miles drive from that store.
Jeez.
So he could have. Bell granted exclusive interviews to Lise Olson. That's the investigative reporter. And he claimed that he had been brainwashed into committing the murders. He said that he was a victim of a systematic program of abuse, brainwashing and lies, all of which was started by his father, then former scoutmasters, a cousin, and all three of his ex-wives were part of, quote, the program. The one thing that Bell claimed that
mentally unwell.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that they all claimed that Bell wanted for him to do was they all wanted him to rape a girl. They all
guys. Please, that's please. Everyone's goal is to have someone else fucking be someone else's tormentor.
Right. Especially your wives and like, yeah, okay.
What the fuck?
Right. Unless you're married to like Carla Homolka or something.
Yeah, that's another sick bitch.
Right. Or what's her name? Ian and...
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Myra.
There you go. Or the West. Fred Rose. And Rosemary.
Yeah, Rosemary.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them. There's a lot of crazy.
I feel like that's not the norm, though. So, and what are the chances that all three of them would be like, yes, please, rape a girl?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the other various brainwashers in the program wanted him to be a flasher.
Carla's out of prison.
She is living in Canada under an assumed name or a changed name or something.
Not yeah, she's got to change it like every other week because right? People are like, oh, it's you. You're that crazy, dirty fucking piece of shit bitch.
That killed your own fucking sister. So yeah. Your husband could have sex with her because she was a virgin. Any hoodles. So everybody in other various brainwashers that were in the program, I'm quoting here, wanted him to be a flasher and rape multiple girls, rob banks, and rob people. He also claimed that his father tried to brainwash him into killing himself. And it was at this point,
it would have worked,
right? It's like, well, that's a shame that that part of it didn't work out,
right? That would have saved a lot of heartache and tragedy if this is actually what, at least Larry's life, that one's confirmed,
right? And it was at this point that he upped his confession to say that he had killed 11 girls.
Okay,
so this is where we get the 11, and he started calling them the 11 who went to heaven, that's which is so like a poem sad. Or something, but not by him. It's like a poem or a, it's something. It's I was trying to find right. it well, again
whether he did it or not, and he's looking for fame through saying that or whatever. That's like really fuck. That's like Samuel Little being like, oh, I was doing the world a favor.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
the, justify the 11 well, at least they're in heaven.
Yeah,
it's like fuck off.
So Bell said that he would grant complete confessions if he was granted he would give complete confessions if he was granted immunity. In a direct quote from one of the interviews, Bell said, if you give me immunity from prosecution of any kind, I could lay a lot of stuff on you, and I will. He had a parole hearing coming up, like not too long after these interviews were starting to be conducted.
This was in 2011 that this all started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was, if he was to be released for the murder of Larry Dickens, he didn't want to serve time for those other murders, the girls that he confessed to. So he was looking for immunity. So in case he got paroled, but he didn't get paroled.
Good.
So that was good.
Is he still alive?
No, he's dead. Then on another occasion, he said he made up the confessions. So another interview, he said he made up the confessions because when he originally wrote the letters in 1998, he was suicidal and he wanted the death penalty. So like when she's interviewing him, he's sitting there saying, she's like, do you remember this girl? Do you remember this girl? Because you wrote these names and blah, blah. And he's like, no, I don't know who they are. No, I don't know them. No. And she's like, but you confessed to killing. He's like, yeah, but I didn't really do it. I wanted the death penalty. And so, because I was suicidal.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though, is it sounds, some of it sounds like, yes, it was him. All of it. Probably not.
But I because do really think.
Do we know about the ones in Panama?
No.
Okay. You
no.
don't have any information on those?
No.
Okay. How were Maria and Debbie and Sharon and
Rhonda
killed?
Sharon and Rhonda were bludgeoned.
Okay.
And Debbie and Maria were both shot.
I feel like, yeah, well, we know he shot Larry, so we know that kind of checks, right? Mm-hmm.
And Dawn, the girl that was walking to the meet her to see her aunt in the hospital, she was also shot, but she was black.
Okay.
And everybody else is white. She's the only one that's black.
And then there's and one
Gloria
Hispanic.
Gonzalez is the only one that's Hispanic.
Okay.
But her remains were found next to Colette Wilson's, remember? Because that's where mm-hmm. how they found Colette was because of the tooth.
The tooth, yeah.
But it's 25 acres where...
Which we established is not actually very blah, 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 not big.
Right. And people are just getting
but it's
rid
swampy
of bodies.
And marshy. And yeah. There's gators and there's all kinds of elements there that
and can there's all help kinds of people that are yeah, there and there's people there leaving bodies. And right. So who's to say that it's just not random?
I'm sorry, is that it from you on the case?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Why?
Because I just was already getting into it. So
no, it's okay. I'm just saying, like, it could have been somebody else that left either one of those bodies. Colette. Yeah. or Gloria Gonzalez, because Gloria was strangled, Colette was bludgeoned.
Right. But okay, so what I was going to say, my point with, do we know what they were bludgeoned with?
No.
So it could have been the end of his fucking rifle when it, how it jammed up.
It could have been, who knows?
Yeah. That it just jammed up again. And so he's just hitting them with it.
Yeah. Because they just have skull fractures.
Yeah.
And so, or damage to their skulls.
Right. So we don't know that, we don't know what the object was. And we heard that his gun jammed up. So I feel like my point to saying that is, because the other ones, it said they were strangled with what, a cord, one of them was, or they were all the strangulations were all with cords. That's a very specific method than hands on throat. I feel like if shooting is your first option, you're going to hit someone as your second option. Your third option would probably be hands on throat. Not let me get an instrument to choke you with.
Right. Because at this point you're getting like frenzied that you got to kill these people because now you've got to finish the job.
But whatever. Instrument on throat sounds more like it's probably someone's initial go-to. Right.
Well, like it's planned. Like, I'm going to get her and this is what I'm going to do.
Exactly. Well, sorry. That's just what's going through my brain.
No, that totally makes sense. I get that totally. So Belle died in prison on April 20th, 2019, I think heart attack. And obviously,
bye, fucker.
He left like a lot of unanswered questions because he sent this letter and he went from 7 to 11. And then he said, no, I didn't kill anybody and blah, blah, blah. But obviously, so some of the families thought that Belle was just attention seeking and trying to, I don't know, just trying to stir some stuff up or whatever. Right. And others thought that he could be responsible for the deaths of their loved ones. Belle is considered a prime suspect in the murders of Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson based on proximity and the fact that he lived near where they hung out. And he was part owner of Doug's Surf and Dive Shop or Dive and Surf Shop. So that one, they're like 99% sure that he probably did kill those girls. And so based on that, they think that he may have killed the other girls.
They're just, he's just the most likely suspect. That's why they've grouped him for the 11. I mean, yes, he admitted to it at one point, but it sounds like that was probably attention seeking. But now it's a theory that is being rolled with because of that one confession.
Well, and because they want to solve it, but he's dead now, so they're never going to solve it. And like,
even if they did, there would be no justice.
No, there would be no justice. And fuck, what was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, and also with Debbie Ackerman and Maria Johnson, they were seen like talking to somebody in a white van that it seemed like they knew, and he drove that.
It seems like it checks for those two, at the very least.
Yeah, I think.
The other two, Sharon and Rhonda, I feel like.
Maybe, maybe not.
If something happened to his gun, then yes, but we don't know. But the fact that they were in close proximity to him sounds.
Could be.
Sounds like it could be, yeah.
Could be.
And I mean, we know that he's a violent person, point blank period.
And he's fucking crazy.
We know he acts on aggression.
And he's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And he obviously has a fetish for young girls.
Yeah.
So all of these things.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. The murders of all 11 of those victims remain unsolved. And I did some more digging because I didn't think that he was responsible for all 11 murders, as we've said like 849 times, just based on the different ways they were killed and victim type. But obviously, I don't fucking know. Like, nobody really knows. Nobody's gonna know. And revisiting Michael Self as a suspect, he's the one that said he didn't do it and he was died in prison. And those dirty cops are the ones that framed
him. For Rhonda and Sharon's murders, yes.
So he had been arrested a couple of times for being a peeping Tom, but he did no jail time. He also went to psychiatric treatment for his peeping Tomness. Peepingness? His Tomness.
His creepiness.
His creepiness. And in his confession.
Who was his victimology of being a creeper on?
It didn't say. Okay. Just that he was a peeping Tom.
Gotcha.
So in his.
Just perv.
Just perv. Straight perv.
No specific perv type. Just perv.
In his confession, he said he was driving around on August 4th, 1971, and he had taken several nerve pills, whatever that is. I want some. Anyway. And he had about 8 or 10 beers.
Cool.
Yep.
Sounds like he's having a fun night.
Fun night.
Did you say August 4th?
August 4th, 1971. That's today.
Ooh. But in 1971.
Yeah, that's today, but not now. Not this year.
That's today, but a long time ago.
Right. Some several years ago.
That's today, but what, 54 years ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today, 54 years ago.
Yeah. Good mathing.
On this day, 54 years ago, he went crazy. He had a wild night of partying.
Yeah. He said, I saw Renee Johnson and I picked her up. And we went to the yacht club because they knew each other. Because remember, they live in this town where there's only like 1,500 people. So like all the youngins.
Who's Renee? Is she another one of the victims?
Renee Johnson and Sharon Shaw. Rhonda. Wait. He said Renee. I'm literally fucking read his fucking thing.
I'm like, who's Renee? I don't think we have a Renee.
We don't have a Renee. But this is his fucking confession. It literally is his typed confession. He typed it and signed it. And it said fucking Renee. So now, yes, fucking weird. Okay, pause it for 1 second.
We don't have a Renee.
Yeah. Mystery solved. Her middle name was Renee. It was Rhonda Renee Johnson. So obviously he called her Renee.
Okay, so I was like, yeah, we don't have a Renee.
A good catch on your part. I'm just like so spinning my wheels on this thing.
You didn't even look at the name.
No.
You're like, Renee. Clearly. Like, who is Renee? I don't even know a Renee.
I don't know Renee. It's, dude, I literally probably had like 14 fucking tabs open going back and forth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hours of sleep in the last year. I was going to say, we already talked about how you're sick every Friday.
No, but I had so many
A Friday with no exceptions.
No exceptions. I had so many fucking tabs open and I'm going back and forth and back and forth and I have these names and these people and there's a lot. It was a lot.
Okay.
Probably like your Samuel Little where you're like, wait, what? Yeah, because there's so much happening.
But I wasn't like, who's Renee?
Well, that was just you. You said, who's Renee? So back to his confession.
Yeah, but all the viewers that are listening, because we have no visuals. all three of our listeners are probably like, who the fuck is Renee?
Right.
So yeah, good catch.
Four. We have Heather. So he said, I saw Renee Johnson and I picked her up. And went to the yacht club. And we went to the yacht club. Renee left and she came back with Sharon Shaw. And then we went driving around. I had about 5 beers with me. And they drank the beers and they got loud and a little wild. And I was trying to get fresh with Renee, but she wasn't having it. And I wasn't thinking straight. So I picked up a Coke bottle and I started swinging it. And I hit Sharon in the neck. And then I hit her again and she fell. Then Renee jumped out of the car and started running and yelling, don't hit me. And I knocked Renee out. I stripped off her clothes. Neither girl was moving. So I panicked and I shoved them into the bayou and I went home at like 12:30 or 1 in the morning and I fell asleep on the couch and that was his signed statement. So he signed that.
Yeah, but that doesn't check out with them both being bludgeoned and having skull fractures.
Not necessarily, no, right?
Yeah.
No. So a couple of days later is when he recanted his confession and he told his attorney that he had been beaten into confessing. But that's not true either.
Okay.
Investigators were split on whether Michael Self was guilty of the murders of Rhonda Renee Johnson and Sharon Shaw. And remember how he was caught right after that new sheriff took over the case?
Yeah.
And then the previous sheriff
David. Yeah, well, they were dirty sheriffs. Yes. Right.
So the previous sheriff David Coburn, because he knows everybody, like knows everybody, this small town.
Right.
So he goes after the confession and he goes to talk to Mike Self after his arrest. And he said that Self was distraught. And after signing the confession, Mike told Coburn that Don Morris emptied 5 bullets out of his 6-shot revolver onto the table in front of him in interrogation. And he told him that he was going to shoot him if he didn't confess. So he's doing like this Russian roulette thing, right? With the, I'm going to kill you if you don't confess. Mm-hmm. And so who knows if that happened or not. But the Sheriff Coburn said that he knew Michael Self and he didn't think that he was capable of murder. But other people said like he was so like when they were interviewing him and how he took him from place to place to show him where he had been and all of that. Like, remember how they took him? And so anyway, that guy said that
they took him on a perp walk. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy said that he seemed remorseful and that he just seemed like he had shame, but also he's low IQ and a little off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not sure.
I just It doesn't.
I don't feel like Michael Self like didn't do it. I don't feel like he did either, because I don't know how being a peeping Tom and nothing else ever translates how being into a creep. Murder. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a peeping Tom, but I definitely could be accused of being a creep from time to time on social media. Creeping on people's shit, you know? But those two things do not equal each other.
They do not. So no other suspects have been named, or not any that I could find, because literally I was fucking looking and looking and looking, and this other guy's name came up, but I couldn't fucking find anything after his name came up. So I'm like, well, I can't say anything, Ben, because I got no fucking information.
Well, I think Belle is likely for two, perhaps four.
Yeah. And Don's sister, I can't.
Two, perhaps four, perhaps six.
Right. And Don's sister thinks that he's the one that killed her sister, but like that's another one that just doesn't have very much information.
Because she was shot.
She was shot. Yep. So, and if you remember.
Yeah, but if he liked young girls, doesn't matter who they are, what color, whatever, then that could make sense.
Right. You're just creeper.
Yeah.
So in the last episode, they think, you know, that there's more than one serial killer operating in the area, which obviously there's that many bodies and shit kept happening after other ones that they suspected were incarcerated.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if you remember that one of my disturbing facts was how many killers you walk by in your life. And the average number of killers that you walk by in your life is going to be 36. And that's if you're out and about. And if you're like a homebody, like me, it's like 16. So, but it back in my younger days, I was out and about. So okay. Maybe I ran into all of them earlier. But so how many of those 36 people that you walk by that are murderers are serial killers, which is anybody who's killed more than three people?
Yeah.
So that could be anyone in a number of those people. So if you think about it, there's tons of fucking people walking around that are fucking murderers and serial killers, and they're not getting caught. And so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've done enough unsolved cases to know that, you know, like I did that case on that little girl, Maria. Like we've done so many that
sucked.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying like that's another
suck.
It's just another unsolved one, you know, like they all suck point blank period. But yeah, unfortunately, just because I mean, I don't think it's right to say just because it's unsolved that we should point all 11 fingers at this one human, though, because it doesn't sound 11 like
fingers.
I'm 11. 11 people should be pointed at.
I'm like,
sorry.
Do you have an extra finger?
You were accusing me of having 30 toes earlier. I'm like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm like, what in the fresh crack are you wanting? Can I get some?
Give me some of that.
Yeah, no, I don't think. What was that?
That I'm from Canada now.
Eh. I just don't think it all makes sense to point it at one human.
I don't either. And so we'll see if I can continue with the Texas killing fields. Because
just keep us updated.
Yeah. Well, I just like if there's even anything else to find, because there is actually maybe a little bit more to find. There's definitely more victims and
none of them have been tied to any kind of a killer. 100% of them are unsolved.
No, some of them have been tied.
Exactly. So there's more to do.
There's more to do. All right. Well,
there's more work to be done here.
There is. But I'm going to probably have to hiatus from this because this one really like they all do. But just maybe so
do a haunted house after this.
Fucking sad.
Not like a spooky haunted house. Like I sent you that they've confirmed all six houses for Halloween Horror Nights that we won't be able to go to.
I know.
But anyway, so sad. Yeah, need to go. Any hoods, do like a creepy thing next. I don't know.
Well, and I heard that you can stay at the Warren's house now.
What do you mean you heard that? I fucking sent you a TikTok that Matt Rife now has ownership.
Matt Rife?
Are you listening to me?
Clearly not.
Matt Rife. Okay, not ownership. He's like guardian for the next 6 years of the Warren house and all their possessions, including Annabelle.
Why Matt Rife?
Bidding war? I don't know. He said he needs to come up with a better hobby, but he really has fun with this one.
What?
So you just don't watch the things I send you. That's
sometimes
really
I do,
cool.
Sometimes I don't. Did you watch the 20 things that make your dog sad?
Yep.
I'll quiz you on that. What was number 11?
What was number 11 specifically that makes your dog sad when you leave?
That makes, them happier.
You said when it makes them sad.
Things that you're doing that make your dog sad and things you do make them happy. Any hoodles. Yeah, that's it. Matt Rife.
I think
what
I make
the fuck?
Bruno pretty upset every time I leave him.
The fuck?
Yeah, cool.
I didn't know it was Matt Rife. And I...
Did you know you could do that? Did you know it was Matt Rife that could do that?
And why did we start talking about that?
Because you said you're not going to do something true crimey for a minute and you need a hiatus. And cover a haunted house.
And then I just heard on the radio today, but I didn't hear it was Matt Rife because I was...
Well, you should probably open the TikToks I send you where it's literally him sitting down and talking about it. He's like, hey, my new venture. And everyone in the comments is like, Zach Bagans right now. And it's that meme of Elmo on fire, like in the burning house.
Nice. Okay. Well, my bad.
Sorry. Yeah, it is.
And we're fucking on a tangent and this thing's like 4 hours long now.
Yeah, an hour and 20 minutes.
Dang.
Almost 4 hours. Closer than not.
Not really.
Yeah. So if it was 0 minutes, that would not be any closer to 4 hours than
true.
Not.
True. All right. Well.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Get us out of here.
Follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Cool.
If you get past 19 seconds.
If you even listen all the way to this point. I will probably not be visiting the Matt Rife Center for Warren's creepy shit anytime soon. That's all.
Bye-bye.